Today is March 20th, 2022. Do you remember what happened exactly 2 years ago? Exactly 2 years ago. Coronavirus, now known as COVID-19. We called it coronavirus back then, but we now call it COVID-19. It became a pandemic in this week, last 2 years ago. The government put the country on a one-month quarantine. You remember that? Churches were forbidden to meet, as were schools and every other event. Sporting venues, malls, indoor activities were all shut down. The only exceptions were those deemed necessary or essential, like grocery stores, drug stores, liquor stores, and pot shops. All the essential things stayed open, but the churches stayed closed. Obviously, there was some disagreement as to what was essential. That was quite a conversation. You remember that 2 years ago? But the quarantine was extended indefinitely and went on and on and on. Weren't those exciting times? Staying home every day, missing school, missing work, unable to do our hobbies, to take our vacations. We learned how to homeschool, though. Yeah. We learned how to work remotely, so maybe there was some blessings there. We had more family time because we were forced to stay home. We had to wear masks and gloves. You remember the gloves? We've kind of forgotten about that part. The masks have continued, but the gloves kind of went away. Whenever we left our homes, we were told to wash your hands constantly. Never touch your face. We were instructed to socially distance from everyone, even our family, especially the grandparents. We didn't want to risk our elderly to getting sick, so we had to stay away. So that meant no Easter gatherings, no Easter egg hunts that year, or Thanksgiving, or Christmas, or birthdays. You can imagine what I miss most: church. I love gathering together with God's people on a weekly basis for worship. We missed our first service on Sunday, March 22nd. So this is March 20th. That was March 22nd. So exactly 2 years ago was when we had to stop having church. We were hopeful that we'd be back together in a month and have an Easter service in April, but that didn't happen. We had no Easter service, the biggest day of the year for the church. Most churches continued to be closed for a long, long time. Fortunately, we ended up only missing 1 month of services. 3 or 4 services is all we missed. Because we believed the church was essential, we came up with a creative alternative. It wasn't unique with us. Other churches were doing it too, but we called it drive-in church. Do you remember that drive-in church? Some of you are here. Some of you are new. Drive-in church. Families came to church as usual, but they stayed in their cars, and they all faced towards the bell tower. We set up speakers for the church parking lot. We broadcast our service not just over the speakers, but through AM and FM and Facebook and YouTube, so that nobody had any excuse not to be able to be a part of what we were doing. I led the service from the bed of my pickup, where I could. I'm not a very tall person, so that had gave me a couple extra feet. I could see everyone, and we could wave, we could honk, we could interact, but we were still socially distancing. If you recall, I preached through Philippians, which was joyful living in a chaotic world. Is that an appropriate series or what? How to live joyfully in face of all the chaos that was going on in our world. Our motto was, come as you are, but stay in your car. We made the exceptions if somebody needed to use the restroom, but for the most part, people stayed in the cars for the first few months of doing that. Our first drive-in worship service was April 19th, 2020. April 2020. I said that right, didn't I? We liked it so much that we continued doing that for 6 months. It was a lot of work for the sound guy, setting up all that equipment and getting everything on AM and FM and YouTube and Facebook. It was a lot of extra work. We spent 27 Sundays outside. You know what, though? It never rained one Sunday. 27, it may have rained during the week, but not on any Sunday did it rain. We had a little wind, we had a little fog once in a while. Our last drive-in service was October 18th, 2020. So we went from April to October. The very next Sunday, we went back into the sanctuary. We wore masks as we entered and as we exited, but we made masks optional during the worship time and during the singing time. We were told we couldn't sing, but we says, "Fooey on that." God tells us to sing a new song unto the Lord, so we sang. We did have a couple areas, the overflow room and the room behind, that we had mask mandatory, where if people wanted to be isolated away in a more safe environment, they had that option. We have been back together now for a year and a half. Yeah. Our services have grown steadily to almost capacity. We still have a little more room. And I pray that we never have to be apart again. I hope and pray that we don't have another incident where they're forcing us to stay home. I love being together. I love worshiping. And maybe we've learned some lessons through this last 2 years that'll help us next time around. Looking back at these two COVID years, I see one major benefit. Now, there's more. But one that I notice is we've learned how to use technology. All of us have learned how to use technology, but specifically to enhance our ministry. We learned what it means to live stream our services. We'd never done that before. We learned how to use Zoom. I've never even heard of Zoom before. I'll tell you a secret. I still haven't used Zoom. I'm not a technical person. I'm sure it's easy, but I have used Facebook and YouTube. So many are still watching our services from home. Hello? Not just locally, but from other states, even other countries. We have people in Kenya and Guatemala and other places watching our services. So that is one benefit, is that we have a broader influence than we ever had before. That brings me to the topic God has laid on my heart this morning. I've titled my message, "Come Together." Now, I know that sounds a little bit like a title of a Beatles song. And it is. But I actually got my sermon title from the scriptures. You know, the Bible says, come together. Come together. Over and over, we read about God's people coming together for worship, for outreach, for fellowship. And that is what I want us to consider today, the importance of Christians coming together for worship. Now, I look out at this room, and I realize I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. You don't have to be nudged. You're already here. You know the importance of being together with your brothers and sisters. So I'm actually addressing those who are watching from home. Hello again. Not all of you, though. I know that some of you can't risk gathering together due to your compromised health conditions. And you have valid reasons for staying home. That's why you don't go to the grocery store. That would be a very big disconnect if you're going to the grocery store and to the restaurants, but not going to church. If you feel safe in one, you should feel safe in all. But some aren't going anywhere. They're totally isolating, and I understand that because of health reasons. So this sermon is not directed towards those who need to stay home. This sermon is not intended to guilt you into coming back and say, come back sooner than you should. If you need to stay away, we understand that, and we're supportive of that. Please continue watching safely from home, and I'm just glad we have the technology to make that possible. On the other hand, this message is directed to those who have gotten a little lazy, those who have gotten out of the habit of attending church, those who have gotten used to watching from home. Maybe they enjoy a late breakfast and watching church in their PJs as they sip their coffee. This message is directed towards you. I visited with a friend this week, and he's a super strong Christian. We'll call him Steve, because that's his name. But you don't know Steve. I know Steve. I asked him if he was plugged back into his church, because he'd always been very involved in his church. He always talked about his church, this, the concerts, and all the things they were doing at their church. He said, no, we do virtual church now. I was stunned. Something's changed in the past 2 years. He's not staying away from church because he's sick. He's staying away from church because it's easy. He named a couple of churches that he watched online. How can you be involved in something you're watching online? This friend has no reason to stay home. He just prefers to kick back at home with his wife and watch virtual church. He's gotten out of the habit of attending church. You know, I know it's work. I know it's work to get up and get dressed and be here on time. For some of you retiree people, that's the highlight of your week. For some of you who work and have children, it's a lot of work to get your kids up and get them to church on time. And it's easy to get out of the habit. Sadly, Steve is not the only one who has said this to me. I hear it all the time. We watch so-and-so. We watch this church. We watch that church. We like our online church. So yes, technology has enhanced and broadened our ministry. That's the blessing, but there's also the curse. It's also made it easier to get out of the habit of gathering. It's easy just to stay home and watch. Is virtual church the same as real church? Let me say that again. Is virtual church the same as a real church? No. Is the scattered church equivalent to the gathered church? No. The Bible teaches about the importance of gathering together. So that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at a few verses that talk about don't forsake the assembling together. Let's begin by defining the word church. We hear often say, good morning, Twin Peaks Church, or good morning, church. What does that mean? We're talking about the building? We say, I'll meet you down at the church. And that usually we refer to the place where the church meets, the building. But this is just a building. The church is what? The people of God. The people of God, not the building of God. The local church is a gathering of local believers. There's an old hymn that captures this in the chorus. It says, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we are the church together. You are the church, we are the church, together. Now, I know we can have a scattered church, and I know for a while we had to have a scattered church because of the pandemic, but when the opportunity to come back together happens, I believe if we're capable, we should do that. The word church is the word ecclesia. Ecclesia. It carries the idea of assembling together, even in its word. It means the assembling of believers. It's not the building, it's where we assemble together. So even in the name church, it implies it's not virtual church, it's the assembled church. So here's my main text, Hebrews 10. 24 and 25. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. There's that assemble word. That's church. Not forsaking the assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's about as clear as you can get it. I highlighted in red, not forsaking your own assembling together, as is the habit of some. Some of God's people have developed the bad habit of not going to church. Maybe they had a bad church experience. Do you throw out the baby with the bathwater? Do you throw out the church because you had one bad experience, or you had somebody in that church you didn't get along with? You find a church and you connect with the church. It's part of Jesus said, I will build my church, and we're part of that church. They were forsaking. They've given up on church, on the assembling together. I believe that this is very relevant for today. Many Christians have the same habit. They're Christians, but they're not church people anymore. I know so many unchurched, they're sheep without a shepherd. They say, well, I just watch a little TV church or a little online church, or I read my Bible. I'm good enough without church, and I don't believe that's true. Many have substituted virtual church for the real church, and they've chosen to remain scattered rather than to gather. Some imagine that they get all the church they need by watching. Well, you might get the teaching you need. You might get really good teaching by some of these pastors. Some of them are really great. So they believe that virtual church will meet their spiritual needs, and they don't need other Christians. Well, I beg to differ. I think we need each other. We're part of the body of Christ, and the body, each part has a function. We should function together. This passage spells out some of the things they're missing. They're missing the spiritual stimulation that comes with gathering. He says, consider how to stimulate one another. They're missing the love that they feel when they come and the good deeds that are experienced together. That doesn't happen in virtual church. The last part, they are substituting or are losing the chance to be encouraged. How can you be encouraged one-on-one by watching some pastor from Texas or someplace? You're not getting the encouragement you need, and you're not encouraging others. So we're missing the boat when we skip out on church. Some things can't happen in isolation. Some things can only happen in community. That verse, we had two one another's. Did you notice that? One another's. We had stimulate one another, and we had encourage one another. How do you do these one another verses if you're never around the other? One, stimulate, encourage one another. There's got to be somebody else in the equation. The New Testament is full of such statements, one another statements. Someday, I'm thinking maybe I'll do a series of messages on these one another verses just to see what they mean. But let me just read a few of them to you. This is not all of them, believe me. This is only about 25 of them. One another verses. Tell me how you do this in a virtual church. Love one another. That occurs at least 16 times in the New Testament. How do you love one another if you're alone at home watching TV? Be devoted to one another. How do you show that you're devoted to somebody if you're in isolation? Honor one another. We need to be honored. We need to honor others. Give honor where honor is due. How do you do that alone? Live in harmony with one another. Maybe this is why they don't come. Maybe they can't live in harmony with others. Maybe they should learn to live in harmony with others. Build up one another. Accept one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another. How do you greet somebody on a virtual church? It's not so easy, is it? But we can greet one another. That's half why we come. We need the hugs. We need the encouragement. We need the handshake. We need to be greeted and encouraged and built up. Care for one another. You can't do that in isolation. Serve one another. Bear one another's burdens. That's why we do the praise and prayer. So someone can stand up and say, please pray for me. I've got this challenge that I'm facing. How do you do that in isolation in virtual church? Forgive one another. Be patient with one another. Be kind to one another. Submit to one another. Bear with one another. Teach one another. Comfort one another. That's what small groups are so great, is you get to know each other and you can comfort and encourage one another. Exhort one another. Show hospitality to one another. Pray for one another. Confess your faults to one another. And there are more that I haven't even listed. None of these can be done effectively in isolation. All of these require community. They only happen when we are gathered together. So come together is my message. We need you to fulfill all these commands in our life. If you're not here, maybe you're not here to encourage me, and I need that. Maybe you're not here to admonish me, and I may need that. If you're not here, we're missing you. But you need us to fulfill these commandments in you. You're not getting admonished or encouraged or built up if you don't come. Let's look at Acts chapters 1 and 2. I just picked up a few verses that indicate that the early church was together all the time. Listen to chapter 1, verse 4 and 6. Gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. So gathering them together, Jesus says to the disciples, you hang together. So when they had come together, that sounds like my sermon title, come together. When they had come together, they're asking Jesus, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring your kingdom to Israel? Coming together, he brought them together to teach them and to encourage them. And then he ascended into heaven and left them. As they were together, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, you know the story of the Holy Spirit coming. It says, and the day, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Don't you like that last phrase? Well, I'm part of the church. I just have church from my house. That's not in the same place. Come together implies you're together. And they came together and the Holy Spirit came down. The scattered church doesn't sense the blessing that the gathered church. Those who were outside that room didn't see have the Holy Spirit come down upon them. It were those who were gathered had the experience of having the Holy Spirit come and visit them. I wonder what blessings we miss because we're so scattered. You know, I reminded Easter story. Easter's coming up. Remember Jesus started appearing to the disciples? He appeared to the disciples who were gathered together, and they got to see him. Who was missing? He was doing virtual church, okay? He was at home or fishing or something. He missed out on seeing the resurrected Lord that day because he wasn't gathered together with the other believers on that special day. A week later, he was with them. They were gathered together in that upper room, and Jesus came. Jesus says, where two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. Now, I know Jesus is with you at home as you're watching virtual church, but I know Jesus is here in a dynamic kind of way. When we gather in his name, there he is in our midst, in one place. Later in the same chapter, we read about the formation and the ministry of the early church. Remember all those people got saved, 3,000, then they kept adding to their numbers, and they just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And they had converged on Jerusalem and were all hanging out together in the temple. What were they doing? Let's read about it. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So they together were hearing the apostles' teaching. You can get teaching on the internet. Can you get fellowship on the internet? Can you get fellowship in virtual church? To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Can you pray together? Can you have communion together in virtual church? Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were what? Together. Together. Thousands. Together. And had all things in common, and they began selling their property and their possessions and were sharing them with all, and anyone who might have need, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind, with unity, with togetherness. In the temple, they overwhelmed the temple with all these Christians, all these born-again Jesus followers. And breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The early church is our model. What you see happening in that early church should happen in our church today. Here we see them worshiping God, praising God in the temple together. We see them learning from the apostles. We are learning from the apostles when we read the New Testament, That's the writings of the apostles. We see them sharing together with those who had need. We see them eating together with meals and celebrating the communion, the Lord's Supper, together. And they were evangelizing together. They were reaching out to the world, and more were being added to their church. I can't imagine much of this happening in a virtual church situation. If we stayed scattered, stayed virtual, the church is going to wither. It's when we come together that there's vibrancy, there's dynamic. We must come together if we want to be like this early church. Amen? I want to close by reading an article describing a second century church service. Way back church service, okay? This is written by Justin Martyr, and he lived from 100 A.D. to 165 A.D. Jesus' crucifixion was around 30 A.D. So this is an early, early, early church, all right? This is 100 years later, maybe, after Jesus. This theologian, this Justin Martyr, he's one of the leaders of the early church. He wrote this article titled, On the Day Called Sunday. I'm going to read this, and I want you to hear what a church service was like 2,000 years ago and see if it's anything like what ours is. Are you ready? Quote, On the day called Sunday, all who live in cities or in towns gather together in one place. I wonder where he got that phrase. And the members of the apostles, that's the New Testament, or the writings of the prophets, that's the Old Testament, are read as long as time permits. That's funny, isn't it? As long as time permits. They were worried about the clock even back then. That guy's going too long. When the reader had ceased, the overseer is another word for pastor in the New Testament, overseer. You want to be an overseer, you desire a good thing. So the pastor verbally instructs and exhorts to the imitation of these good things that were read. So we read Scripture and we teach Scripture. Then, quote, we all rise together and pray, and when our prayer is ended, bread and wine and water are brought, and the overseer in like manner offers prayers and thanksgivings according to his ability, and the people assent, saying amen. And then there is a distribution to each and a participation of that over which thanks have been given. And to those who are absent, a portion is sent by the deacons. And they who are well-to-do and willing give what each seems fit. And what is collected is deposited with the overseer, who provides for the orphans and the widows and those who, through sickness or any other cause, are in want. Those who are in bonds and the strangers sojourning in the land, and in a word, takes care of all those who are in need. But Sunday is the day on which we hold our common assembly. There's that word again. Common assembly. Assembling together. Because it is the first day on which God, having wrought a change in the darkness of matter, made the world. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day rose from the dead. Close quote. That sounds like a church service today. There's teaching, there's reading of Scripture, there's prayer, there's communion, offerings, helping those in need. For all this to happen, we need more than a virtual church. You can't do all these things watching online. We need to come together right now. Isn't that how the song goes? Yes. My encouragement to you who have been missing church is get back to where you once belonged. Can you tell I've been watching a Beatle documentary? Maybe I should say, come back to where you still belong. Come back. This is where you belong. This is where you are at home in your church family. Come back. You know, it's been two long years. It's time to step out. I would encourage you to be here by Easter. Wouldn't it be fun if all those who have been holding back for one reason or another say, let's get back together for Easter. We're going to have an Easter breakfast in the building next door in the morning before Easter. We'll still have just the one service, 10:30 a.m., and we'll just jam everybody in. It'll be no social distancing. All right, so if you're afraid, wear a mask. But we're going to have a wonderful time gathering together. So that's my goal, is to say, come back, maybe by Easter. Let's pray. Father, I don't want to guilt anybody into coming to church. I want them to come because you are drawing them, because they want to be among their church family, brothers and sisters. Lord, help us to get over our laziness and over our fears and gather together for an hour or two on Sunday mornings, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.